37 and a half minutes after 8, you're on the morning show, and many thanks to the apprentices for the community calendar, which I always learn what's going on by listening to the calendar. Among the things going on this weekend, more or less the last weekend of traditional summer, is a gathering of people in the Sierra Nevadas, just below Yosemite, at Camp Tawanga. This camping experience is a little different than most other camping experiences, as it's going to bring together Palestinians, Israelis, Jews, and Arabs, people from 1 to over 70 years of age, for the purpose of becoming peacemakers and exchanging their views. This gathering has been going on now for 4 years, and we're joined in the studio by three of the participants in the event. Ann Gonski, former programmer here at KPFA back in the 1970s, is director of Camp Tawanga. Welcome back, Ann.
Thank you, Philip. It's a pleasure to be here.
And two of the participants in this year's event, Rina Kadem, is an Israeli student at the Arava Institute in Israel. Rina, tell me what Arava Institute is, maybe.
The Arava Institute is a university that we all gather. It's through the Tel Aviv University, and we live together in the community in the south of Israel, and we live together a group of Palestinians, Jordanians, Israeli, and American, and we all study environmental studies together.
Wow, and that's been going on for a while?
That's been going on for 11 to 12 years.
Wow, didn't know about that. And we're also joined in the studio by Melek Tota, who's a Palestinian-American, and she is co-director this year, and she was last year also, of the Peacemaker Weekend. Melek, welcome to KPFA.
Thank you, glad to be here.
So, Melek, let's start with you. Your father left Palestine in 1948 at the time of the creation of Israel.
Yeah, he left a little bit after that, but basically, right, the family during the fighting in 48 left and went to Egypt. And then after a few years there, he came to the U.S. and married my mother, who's American, and had three kids. Yep.
So, and he's a bit older. I mean, you said he was born in 1921 or so, and
right.
So he's passed by now.
Right.
But for him, this the creation of Israel must have been a tragedy.
Yeah, it was very hard because our family was dispersed. Some came to the U.S., some came to Canada, some went to Europe, and some went to South America. And, you know, for him, you know, he lost not only his home, the physical home, but he lost, you know, an identity. And that was what was really hard for him, is he struggled his whole life to really figure out who he was after that.
Mm-hmm.
As you can imagine, Arab and American, very, very different culturally. And he lived here, so it was hard.
Rina, you told me that your mother she's still with us, I presume?
She yes.
is a Syrian Jew that moved with her family from Syria to Israel when Israel was created. Is that correct?
Well, she ran away from Syria without her family.
Uh-huh.
But after Israel was created in 61, because the situation in Syria became very hard for the Jews living there. And she came to Israel and started her life pretty much alone. And after a while, she went away from Israel, she came back, and she's living there now. And my father lives here in America,
mm-hmm.
in San Francisco.
And he is an Israeli Jew, or?
He's an American Jew.
American Jew. Well, let me start with Anne. How did this idea of peacemakers come together in the first place? And it sounds a little bit like kumbaya. We can just all sit around the fire and make friends.
Not exactly. The first year when we did it, we actually tried more of the kumbaya model, and it didn't work because people don't automatically talk to each other about difficult issues if you don't help them. So the original idea for this program was one of the directors of Tawanga at the time was part of the Jewish-Palestinian Living Room Dialogue Network. And after he had been in the dialogue for a while, he said, wow, it would be so amazing to do this at our camp over a period of 3 or 4 days in a residential program. So with that inspiration, I got together with Melek and Len and Libby Traubman and a few other people who are very interested.
The Traubmans started the Living...
The Dialogue.
Are those still happening?
Yes, they are still happening. And the Traubmans have worked with us from the very beginning on this program. And so that inspiration got us to do what Tawanga's fantastic at the family camp model, so we plugged this issue into the model. And then over the years, Malik and the Troutmans and Ken and I have worked on changing the model so it's very, very structured. We don't expect people to be able to talk to each other without help. So we go from the first exercise, which is just basic getting to know you, easy, fun stuff, all the way through groups of four people sitting together and having to answer amongst themselves really difficult questions like what should be the future of Jerusalem, what do you think about suicide bombing, different things that are hard for us to talk about. And we really help them through teaching them listening techniques and dialogue techniques to talk about those difficult things.
And Camp Tawanga for the rest of the summer is a Jewish camp.
And it's a children's camp, right.
And a family camp.
Family camp, spring and fall, summer camp for kids.
And I haven't been there. Is it beautiful?
It's exquisite.
I really envy you going out.
Gorgeous. You have to come visit sometime.
Okay. Malik, back to not singing Kumbaya together, but actually interacting. How do you get, I mean, particularly this year, I mean, every year is rough, but after what happened in Lebanon and what continues to happen in Gaza, this must be a particularly rough one.
You know, I think, yes, we're definitely expecting that people come to camp with a lot of anger and frustration. And, you know, it's important that we all can sort of listen to that. And you know, that's going to be an important part of this camp. But I've been really surprised at the folks that are interested in coming in spite of all the violence. People are very interested in this. And in fact, we've got a lot of people that have called us after some of the stuff that's been going on. So I'm hoping that people are starting to think, how can we get ourselves out of this model of violence, and is there another way? And that's what we offer at Camp Tawanga, is something different. It's about getting to know each other and realizing that there's another solution besides violence, which is dialogue.
And among the people that will be attending the camp, I hesitate to identify people based on religion because some of us are really pretty secular, but it will include Jewish people, Christian people, Muslim people, and people who are entirely secular that culturally identify with one of those faiths but are really not observant. What proportion are Arab or Palestinian and or Muslim?
I think we've got about a quarter Arab, I'd say, and maybe a half Jewish, and maybe a quarter other, something around there. Yeah.
And how many people total?
200 plus minus guests and about 50 staff.
Uh-huh. And I mentioned earlier from 1 to 70 years of age, and a large group of teenagers as well. So, Rena, how did you get involved in this?
I've been working with Camp Tawanga for 5 years now. I usually did, I was on the wilderness staff, mm-hmm. I'm assistant director of the wilderness department, and this became, I've been using nature and environment as a path for communication with youth, with children, as a therapy, and it became very, I've been traveling around the world for a few years, and I realized that this is the way I feel most connected to, is using the outdoors and the environment as a thing that brings people together in all different religions and cultures in India, Australia, New Zealand, Argentina, pretty much everywhere I've been. And it became very natural to me that that's what I want to do with the Palestinian, Israeli, Jewish, Arab situation. And that 3 years ago I got involved with the Peacemakers Weekend. And I wanted to refer to the question you asked before. I realize that people are understanding that they're not trusting the politicians and government solely anymore to make a change. They're realizing that by talking and by opening their minds and their hearts, they can make a difference as well. At least they're more interested in exploring that. And I find that in the times like now, when there was times of violence and war, people are even more desperate. So they're looking, they're reaching out to find more of these places that hold these events, because they're realizing that it might be the only way, at least for their peace as a human being.
So have you been in Israel recently, and can you gauge the public opinion there? We've gotten reports that particularly the reservists who have now been demobilized, who had been in Lebanon, many of them are of the opinion that the government should have let them continue to fight because they regard the ceasefire as somehow a defeat or something.
Well, I haven't been in Israel at the time of war. I left right before it happened. I was in Italy and came back here. But I'll tell you something very general about the situation in Israel. You can hear, as you know, 10,000 different voices, and I will not represent, I represent myself. And what I will say, this war was very complicated for Israel and the strategies. I heard a lot of different opinions, so I can't go with one. I know that I heard that one as well. But I don't think it represents the majority of any kind. And I try and focus my energy in what I find useful. So I don't spare much time regarding political views. Or I think what's important in sharing mine is how I chose to divert my energy to communication and using the natural word to do so.
I found in myself a very strange emotion when the first Katyushas and these other longer-range missiles hit Haifa. I felt, particularly at the same time, of course, Lebanon was being bombed day after day after day. It was a very strange emotion that I don't feel proud of at all, but it was sort of like the turnabout is a fair game. You know, now Israel's going to be suffering in the way that others have suffered, which is obviously a very vicious kind of thought, but I'm owning up to it. Have you had thoughts like that?
You know, no, you're asking me, Melek. I'm very very sad about what's happening in the Middle East for all sides. I mean, I think, you know, if you look at the Israelis and what they're going through and living in bomb shelters for weeks on end and you know, just what has happened before this situation where they haven't been able to enjoy their lives because they're afraid a suicide bomber could occur any moment. And you look at the Palestinians who also, whose life is really very sad right now, and that's been happening for a long time. So I think, you know, the situation hasn't gotten a lot worse, but after all this fighting, I don't think that anything's gotten, I mean, it's gotten a lot worse now. I mean, we're in a much worse situation.
More polarized,
and, you know, there's a lot of anti-Semitism in the world now. Maybe, you know, it's a lot more heightened, and I think, you know, Israelis probably feel even less secure in one way after this situation has happened, and now Lebanon is destroyed. So I don't know. I don't feel any positive feelings about this violence whatsoever. I think it was very sad, and I really hope that people will start to realize now that maybe this isn't the answer. Violence may not be getting us what we want. It surely hasn't gotten Israel security. I think most people, you know, hopefully, maybe not everyone can agree with that, but I think that they're not secure right now, and obviously it didn't help Lebanon at all. And I don't think it's helped Palestine either. So I'm not sure. I'm really hoping people can start thinking, what's another way to solve this problem?
And you're not a psychotherapist, but you can play one on the radio. How do you think there is a sense in which the violence satisfies a sort of a baser human desire to will show them?
You know, I think that violence is the easier approach, even though that's sort of counterintuitive. I've learned in my much longer life now that life is not an either-or, and violence is an either-or approach to life. I think that what we're looking at here is that life is an also-and. And I can also feel sad for Israel and feel sad for Lebanon. I really don't have to choose. I don't have to choose to be a Jew or to be a humanitarian. I don't have to choose between those things. And I think that that's the psychological part for me, is that violence forces us into the either-or position. Either we're right or they're right. Either we're going to win or they're going to lose. So what we need to start looking at now is the also-and approach to life. There's room for the Palestinians to live healthy, happy, totally fulfilled lives, and there is room for the Israelis to live healthy, happy, totally fulfilled lives. We don't have to choose between them. And the amazing thing about this program for us this year, and this is a big thanks to Len and Libby, is that we've identified in Israel, Jordan, the West Bank, Gaza, just a whole array of organizations like Arava, which people in America haven't heard about, where Israelis and Palestinians, not waiting for anybody else to do it for them, are coming together and forming their own peace work, their own coexistence work. We have representatives of those, and they're small grassroots organizations throughout the world. The grassroots is what's happening. The governments are out of it. And there's one group there, the Combatants for Peace. They're Palestinians who fought in their resistance movement and were imprisoned by the Israelis, and Israeli soldiers who've come together as a group and said, enough. We don't want to fight each other anymore. We have people from that organization coming. We have people, we have Jordanians, Palestinians, and Israelis from Arava. We have a group of young people from Nablus who live in such hard conditions, and they're reaching out to their Israeli cohorts to make peace. So while we're sitting here in America doing the either-or thing, in Israel and Palestine and Jordan, they're reaching out to each other to say, enough, we don't want to live like this, we don't want our children to live like that. And I feel really honored that we're going to have representatives of those organizations with us at camp, because I think Americans in the world need to know that this is happening.
Once again, we are talking about Camp Tawonga's annual Peacemakers Weekend, which is taking place this weekend. Actually, my three guests are going to be on the road right after leaving the station to drive up there near Yosemite. And all the places are taken, so it's too late for you to put your sleeping bag in the car and just run right up there. So I'm not going to entice you with that. But there is going to be a report back from some of the people participating in this Peacemakers Weekend coming up next Tuesday evening in San Francisco at St. Mary's Cathedral. It's called Meet the Peacemakers, Palestinian and Jewish Stories of Change, at St. Mary's Cathedral, which is at Geary and Goff in San Francisco, Tuesday night the 5th at 7:30 p.m. Rena, I noticed you wanted to get a word in edgeways there.
I wanted to continue what Anne said, that people do not hear enough about the efforts that people do to bring these two sides together. And by reactions I got from around the world, and I will always get, people try to understand the situation many times with their mind, many times by following the media. And eventually I get back to the point that if you know or create a small world of coexistence, or what I call existence, and you can focus and look at that and learn from that, then that's sometimes where, if you try and understand the biggest picture, is so complex and so difficult, that if you can look at one example like we do at Tawonga, or like all these organizations that Anne mentioned, then you can find a lot of sense there. And we've been watching the results of this weekend in the past 4 years, and it works on different levels of people, from the fact that they can come together, be together at the same spot, speak and build a network after they go away from this weekend, that they really have something active and something that comes back down to earth that it can really be a part of later on in this whole communication process.
KPFA and other peace organizations are frequently attacked for not being sufficiently pro-Israel. We certainly get that on a regular basis, and also the presumption that we're anti-Israel. Malika, do you get that reaction from some people as well?
You know, not personally, but I could imagine that, you know, there's a whole host of responses to, you know, anything you say. And I can understand how, you know, people, Israelis are very fearful, and they, you know, they can understand why they would see that. You know, so I acknowledge that happens. And I think, you know, we just have to try to remind people that what we're doing here is trying to make their lives easier. And we believe, you know, getting along is the right way to do that.
What do you say to people that talk about suicide bombers and the fact that suicide bombers target anonymous civilians as opposed to military targets?
Well, and I think that's horrible that happens, and I think, you know, so I can understand why people would be very fearful, and it would be, you know, a horrible place to live in a situation like that. But I think, again, you know, our camp, what we're doing is we're trying to educate people back home, just as well as in the United States, that, you know, there is a model that works, and so that we're really hoping that we turn people away from violence back home as well. You know, as both Anne and Rena mentioned, you know, we have a lot of peace groups that are coming. But what's also interesting is we've invited the community that supports some of those people that are involved in peace, because what we find is a lot of those folks that are involved in peace go home and their communities aren't supportive. Even their families may not be supportive of what they do. So what we're really trying trying to do is kind of say, all right, let's bring your father and your mother and your sister and your brother. And we've actually done that. So that's what's really exciting is when we bring people who are related to the peacemakers. There's one interesting situation where I guess there's a Palestinian man coming from Ramallah, and his whole community knows that he's coming to this camp. And there's a buzz right now in Ramallah about this camp, and everybody's waiting to find out, what is this camp like? How did it go? So, I mean, I think, you know, that's what's really interesting is that people are waiting to see this. It really is a model, and people really are, you know, sort of waiting and hoping that this is a new sort of way for them.
And correct me if I'm wrong, the Palestinian community of San Francisco has a very large proportion of people from Ramallah.
They do.
Ramallah
right.
is very well represented here in the Bay Area. And following up on what Melek was just saying, it's fine and dandy for the people participating in the camp to decide to be peacemakers, but when they go home, they might not be facing people that are in the mood.
It's so difficult, and it's a real challenge for them. And that, Philip, what you and I spoke about earlier is things like peace and tolerance and justice take a long time. They're not sound bites. They don't happen because you go to a four-day weekend and you go home and that it will all be over. So really what we are doing is planting seeds and validating the people who are already doing it. One thing we've had at these weekends, which is also very encouraging, is we have young Israelis who meet Palestinians for the very first time, not at a checkpoint.
We are going to leave it there. There is a public gathering next Tuesday night, 7:30 p.m., St. Mary's Cathedral in San Francisco, Geary and Goff, for the purpose of meeting the peacemakers, Palestinian Jewish Stories of Change. You can also get more information about peacemakers in Camp Tawonga at www.tawonga.org. Ann Gonski, Rena Kedem, Melek Tota, thank you very much and keep up the good work. Thank you for joining us on The Morning Show. You're listening to KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno. Stay tuned for Democracy Now!